will you do without freedom? Will you fight?
Welcome to Leverage Addicts, the podcast for investors looking to maximize returns through leverage. Join host, seasoned mortgage professional and real estate enthusiast, Blandon Lerm, as we explore property investing strategies and learn how to navigate the market to build new wealth.
What's going on, everybody? It's Blandon here in another episode of Leverage Addict, and welcome, because today we are diving into another property journey. This is a good friend, and we sort of have a professional relationship as well, Jerry Chen from Ray White. And maybe a quick story on how I know this guy, right? So I know this guy, I mean, like, you probably think he looks, well, I don't want to sort of like flatter myself, but I know I look a bit on the younger side, but Jerry, he looks even on the younger side. So essentially, I know this guy from church. Back in youth, like at the time I was like almost like a decade older, so he was just like a little minion. And you know, now he's got a very interesting story, because he started in property investing very early on, and we're going to dive into that and what got him into it, because he went to take action really early on. Like before he hit 20, he's already bought his first one, and then later on he expanded that. He's got a couple of land banks, and then now, you know, he's transitioned from like a corporate job to completely into real estate, and he's got a lot of insight around real estate. So I think it's going to be a really, really good to learn from Jerry today and understand his journey a bit. And also, he's going to give us advice, hopefully, at the end to people who are starting out. If you're a bit younger, perhaps it will connect with you. Or even if you're like sort of thinking you've got a property and you've got equity, you know, those thought process of going through like, okay, why should I get into investment property? This might be a good episode for you. So without further ado, welcome, Jerry.
Thanks for having me, Blandon.
Awesome. And I thought it'll be really good to start with your journey into property investing, because I think it's quite unique. And I do remember that call when you mentioned that you're like, hey, I do remember when I was thinking about this position and I gave you a call, and that was like the conversation we had. This was almost like when we first started this company.
So, 8 years ago, I think. Yeah.
So it's pretty crazy to see your growth in between. And like nowadays, I still ask you for advice around Sandringham area, because this is where sort of you work now. But how did you get into properties to start with?
Sort of by luck, I think. It wasn't really anything that I was intentionally about getting into. But I think I just remember the time being around when I was in university, first and second year. Like, I think the previous national government was in, and the news all the time was about property going up. And I was really uneducated about the whole process. But I just realized that I had started renting and moved out of home as well. And I was like, oh my gosh.
That was in uni. You already moved out.
Yeah. I was like, man.
Or did you get kicked out?
No, I moved out. I was like,
Good terms.
Dad, I'm gonna be my own man. I'm gonna go do this thing, and I'm gonna like survive in the big world, you know? It's not very typical for Asian children, but I was very much like, I have to make it on my own.
But you're already reading news on properties, like that is quite.
Yeah, I'm actually literate. Well, like, I can read.
No, well, like in uni, you know, you're just trying to read like which club to go to, like next weekend.
Yeah, okay. I mean, the only club I was really involved with at university was like the Christian club, like Shin Alive on campus. That was really the only one that I spent time in. Other than that, like, I did not really pay attention in class. I didn't really pay attention to like any other clubs or anything else. I was very much like, I was concerned about how to survive in the real world from very early on.
So how old are you like when we're
29?
No, sorry, in this moment we were talking about, you're like 18.
I was 18, yeah. Probably economics 101. I had a lecturer called Garmany. A lot of Auckland University grads might remember him. He always talked about like interest-free money is free money, and speeding on the motorway. Those are the two things I remember learning from him. But interest-free money being free money was a big one for me, because I realized like, oh, like the student loan's interest-free. Why don't I try and like take some money out of that and invest it? So I used to max out my like living costs for my loan. I took out all my course-related costs, and I would just like either save it or try and like buy some shares. Yeah. And I had savings from, I always worked in high school as well. So I had like savings from my part-time job.
Man, you were thinking about money early on in your uni. Like, I don't think I was at that level yet.
Yeah. I think, you know, I don't know what it was like for your family, but like, obviously, like my parents immigrated here with like nothing. Like, they were actually in debt when they came to New Zealand in the 90s. And, you know, we had a really good family friend who had a little house in New Lynn, and we rented that house, and our whole family would squeeze in into the lounge, and we had to get flatmates in the two other bedrooms to help us like pay and survive. So very early on, and dad was running his own like panel beating business. So like really humble beginnings. And, you know, we just kind of squeezed into this like little flat of a house down a really long kind of shared driveway. And I think I've always been really conscious about like money and being responsible and having to like provide. And like I was, yeah. Like that was the one thing on my mind coming out of high school.
Oh, that's good. Well, I have a similar beginning because I probably haven't shared this on YouTube before, but very similar to Jerry, came in the 90s, like late 90s. And my parents just came with pretty much like something like $10,000. And then they worked for that first deposit. They had to borrow a little bit more for that 5% deposit buying Beach Haven. And one of my first jobs was helping my mom and dad. Actually, my dad at the time said these are leftovers from work, but it's like milk and bread. So I just believed it. You know, we went to, if you guys live in Auckland and you know Beach Haven, Lysander.
Triple B's.
Lysander, that's where yeah. I sort of like my door knocking, just be like, hey, you want to buy some bread and milk?
Yeah, door knocking in Beach Haven.
Yeah, that was my first job.
Beach Haven's nice now, you know, I've got a property there. So.
Yeah, no, that's, I love Beach Haven though. Like even back then, I mean, I wouldn't know any different. So, but yeah, that's sort of like how a lot of immigrant family come over with.
Yeah, just really have nothing. And like, what a privilege to live in such a beautiful and great country. And like, it's crazy to me, the opportunities there are there. So yeah, just really lucky to be doing what I do. But to answer your question, at the end of my sort of first, about halfway through my second year at university, I was, to be honest, I was really, really struggling with school. Not necessarily my grades, but just I was really depressed. There was a lot of like things in life going on. So I do a lot of like therapy and personal work and just make sure like, you know, health, physical health, mental health, all of that's really important to me. But I got really depressed and I actually dropped out of university. And around that time, I was just trying to figure out like really what I could do. And my parents actually, well, my dad is very much like, hey, property's going to go up and you should, you know.
It's okay, son. You left school, but just buy properties.
Yeah. Well, my dad didn't really, he didn't really have anything that he could really help me with substantially because we're like pretty humble family.
But you're Asian though. Like if you leave school, you get disowned.
Almost disowned. But thankfully my dad just like such an incredible man, like in terms of like what he's done for me and for us as a family. Like I just have so much respect for him. But so it was actually his idea. So he like found this property and he was like, hey, I think you should buy it. And it's like this really run down little 2-bedroom place out in New Lynn.
How did you buy it?
Yeah, so I had all the savings.
No way. You had enough savings for a deposit?
I had 40 grand, yeah.
Come on. That's 40 crazy. Grand at 19. More like your student loan strategy.
That probably added about 12 grand.
Oh my gosh, we need to do a masterclass on how you do like this first.
But that was like, honestly, it only grew by like 5%. So it wasn't heaps, but like it was still a little bit of money. But a lot of it's from like saving hard out. Like and working like odd jobs in high school.
Yeah, so you were more like you don't want to be in the classroom. You were like action oriented. You want to do stuff.
Well, I didn't really have any other choice because I was so depressed and like I couldn't get through my degree. Like grades was fine, but I couldn't handle there was something about university. I just was not enjoying it. I literally had no other choice and I had to drop out of school and make it work and survive and do something.
So lesson number one. If you want to get a property mentor, just get an Asian dad. Like that's like lesson number one. Okay, so now we got this little unit. Your dad just forced you to. So you live in there and got a job, right?
Yeah, I got a job. So I dropped out of uni and I worked throughout the summer of my first year and all throughout first year university, I actually worked a part-time job doing some filing at an accounting firm and like doing some like GST and like just like they get me to buy coffees and like move boxes and clean out storage rooms and like dig out these old files and like scan them all into a printer. It was like so
okay, so that means from there, like could you borrow enough at the time? Like how much did you buy the house for?
The house is 380.
Wow. Did you have to like propose border income and everything?
Yeah, so it was rented out. Dad had guaranteed it and then I got two jobs.
Okay, so a little bit of help from the parents to guarantee the loan.
Just kind of like support on paper, which that's got good. Me started. So that was, that was really grateful for
that's
them still, to help me with
that's
that.
That's still awesome. Okay, so then how did you transition into how many properties you own? And so like, what was the pivot point where you saw the most growth in your property investing journey?
Oh, I think I'm still in in the growth phase. So I'm at 4 properties at the moment. I was very naive when I bought my first property because I think I'm a like resourceful and ambitious individual, but I never really thought like 10 years ago, looking back at my life now, that I'd be anywhere close to where I am. Like I literally thought I was going to drop out of uni, just work whatever job I can find, pay off my debt and live in that house in Newland that I bought. Like I thought that was it for me. Like I was done.
So the first property was a unit.
No. I still have it. I actually still have it. It's on a 1/4-acre block of land.
Really?
And it's a 2-bedroom 1910s transitional villa.
Wow.
But that's how cheap they were back then.
Wow, that's crazy. So you actually got a freehold property to...
Freehold, yeah. It does have a floodplain at the rear and some council piping. So the whole section isn't necessarily developable or usable. But it was like a big property, 1/4-acre block with a 2-bedroom character home. Yeah.
And then so how did you move on from that? Like when was the next property? Because that usually is the hardest one. It's like right. That first investment property is the hardest.
Yeah. So my first one was a fluke basically. And I just started paying off my debt and didn't really like, I was good at saving and good at kind of managing what I was spending. So I think that's really, really key. Like the ability to delay your gratification in life in general is a very good skill. And it's something that, you know, you'd definitely be instilling in like if I ever have children, kind of teaching them to do that. Where it started was eventually I worked a couple of part-time jobs. I worked in retail. I sold like suits and menswear. I met some people that was working within a bank and then they mentioned about like opportunities to become a banker. So I applied and ended up getting a job at BNZ writing mortgages. Yeah, that's how I got started in all of this. And 3 months into writing mortgages, I realized that everybody was building wealth through property and everyone was leveraging their equity in their main home to buy more houses.
You're the aware banker because, and it's not, no offense to anybody, it's more about being aware of like, okay, like what can you learn from the people you're helping?
Absolutely.
There's so much to learn from them. And I think a lot of people don't apply that. So you were actually go, okay, well, what's happening here?
Yeah, I was like, how are these just very normal people working very normal jobs, owning 3-4 properties that are worth millions of dollars and like they could sell to and retire? And I had a lot of people that I was coming across at the bank in that same situation. And so I realized that leveraging equity presented a really big opportunity. And that's when I gave Blandon a call. I called Blandon because
I remember that call.
This was what, end of 2016, early 2017, around that time. The market had just boomed out of the GFC. And that $380,000 property I bought, the new CV on it was $1 million. And I was like, I think I've got some equity I can use. Blandon, what should I do?
Okay.
I was 21.
So what did that Blandon tell you?
Blandon was like, oh, you know, you should probably buy some land, but don't just buy land. You want to make sure that something called a gross yield, just to help make sure you can service the debt and pay off the loan. So you should try and buy a home and income or something with where you can rent it out to 2 sets of tenants.
That's really good advice. Can't believe I gave that advice.
8 years ago, right? Yeah. So I went out and I bought 2 home and income properties, yeah. One after the other. Yeah.
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 Just like that.
I was making a good salary at the bank, which helped, and I was performing well at my job.
Yeah, because you were smashing it. You told me you were like one of the top performers in the
certainly doing mortgages. Absolutely, one of the top performers. Yeah, yeah. So when and I've always had a fascination with character homes, though. So I always like buying something a little bit older, doing it up. But the idea of a home and income was great for me because I thought, okay, maybe with this next property, I could, you know, live in the back, rent out the front. If I have a family, I can move in the front, rent out the back. You'd always have something to help pay the mortgage with. That's what I did. I just got some home and income. I watched the yield, try to buy in like, I also try to like, my strategy is so basic. I try to buy in like areas where it was like good access to the motorway, train lines, bus stations, good school zones, not in the blue chip suburbs because that was too expensive, but areas where like you could see the potential for growth. So just like high growth areas, basically. Yeah, very basic. Yeah. You look for the streets where there's like small BMWs and older Audis, you know, if the brand new ones around, the price is probably already too high.
Yeah. Not necessarily. Yeah, sometimes, yeah. Like you don't have to have the money to buy those.
Yeah, yeah. And I used to like go around after open homes, like after work, I'd drive around the houses that I was looking at to see if there's any people jogging. If people were like out jogging, I'm like, oh yeah, it's probably a nice area. Yeah. It's probably gonna get growth. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, fair enough. enough.
So basic. Yeah.
You actually made a massive transition from, okay, you got this corporate job, you've got like now three properties, two of them are home and income. You should be like, yeah, this is like pretty chill, right? You can just carry on, maybe buy at a home and income every 2 or 3 years. But you made a transition into real estate, because for most people, like, they're climbing the corporate ladder, quitting that and then go self-employed. It's like a pretty big leap. So what made you sort of want to do that, and how did you come to that decision?
Working in banking in that career was like easy money and like really stable, really good job. Like, if you just put your head down and work, you can still make a really good living. But it's just kind of like, it takes a long time. You're kind of like part of a bigger machine of a corporation, and they have its own reporting duties and goals and things like that. I really didn't have a choice because I dropped out of university. I didn't really have any like qualifications. What I did have was a really good brain and a really good ability to work with people.
Who says that? Like, I have a really good brain.
And I'm actually really humbled as well, as you can tell. But I had a really like amazing ability to work with people. And I'm like, okay, these are like the two things. And there's not like really the two things I've got going for me. And how do I monetize that?
Yeah, okay.
I had moved into business banking and like looking at commercial businesses, people running their own businesses. And I realized that there's a lot of opportunity.
Well, you're like 23 at the time, 24?
I was 25 at this point in time. Yeah.
Not too bad.
Yeah. And I was like, okay, well, there's a lot of opportunity in business. And yes, it comes with a lot of risk, but actually what you have in business is a potential to earn an unlimited income, because it just comes down to how well your business does and how hard you want to work. Whereas at the bank, I was putting everything into it. There were quarters where I was just outperforming everybody like crazy. But guess what? At the end of the day, I'm going to make exactly the same as someone that is, you know, taking 2 hour lunch breaks, sick every other day, underperforming. Like, you just make the same salary. It's just what it is.
That is discouraging.
It is quite discouraging. And I'm like, well, I have energy, I'm ready to work, and I have skills that I can offer people. And really, there wasn't have any other choice other than like real estate, possibly mortgage broking.
Why didn't you go mortgage broking? Why real estate?
Yeah, good question.
By the way, this is going to be the Ray White promotion. You know, why why choose real estate? Like, I'm promoting Ray White right now.
Yeah, it's not for real estate. It's not for everyone.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah. But I just love the personal connection of a lot of the clients that I spoke to. When I got to really know them and talk to them about their goals, their family, their homes, where they wanted to be in life, like, that was the thing that really excited me. And I felt like I had a better chance to do that in real estate than possibly mortgage broking. And why it was more like a why not mortgage broking. And the reason was I didn't want to deal with the bank anymore.
Yeah. Well, to be fair, I use Jerry for one of our sales. And the thing that I realized is, like, really, really early on when he first started, and we went to look at some new builds together, because I was like, hey, come have a look at some houses and learn about developers. And he's like, yeah, I'm open to learning anything. So he's like, he came along. And the level of details that he think about when we go through like a house, around how things should be positioned, like little things around, like, he's just got this natural ability to look at the aesthetic of a house. I thought that was a really, really good path for you, instead of like dealing with numbers. It's like, well, I'm like less emotional, less aesthetic pleasing choices. It's about what is the logical thing. And I think, yeah, it was a good choice for you to go real estate.
I think so. And it's emotional, personal connection with clients. You experience that a lot more in what I do. And I think I'm so grateful I get to do what I do, because I absolutely love it. Yeah.
So what are you looking forward to now? Okay, now you're in the real estate world, you probably doubled your income already, or like 150% your income from the bank?
I mean, I'm making a good living. I think at the reason why I'm doing it, obviously, like, it is a business and you want to improve your quality of life and make more money. But I do what I do every single day because it's just what I absolutely love. And I want to be honest, you asked me earlier, but this year my goal is like every single day I want to be able to perform like at my peak and be the best version of myself every day.
Make sure you have a rest day in there.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't get to hit that every day. Like, some days I'm like 80%, 90%. But like, the feeling of being at your best is just amazing. And also, I think when it comes to people moving on or selling their homes and houses, it's a very emotional time of life. I just think it's crazy that I get to be a part of it. And so, you know, I just want to like make the most of the opportunities that I get to do that. So the goal is obviously to be number one in all of New Zealand. I'm a long way, way off, but I'm going to like put it right out there. Like, I want to be the number one agent that like people can trust. Yeah.
I wanted to maybe get you to share advice for people who are thinking of getting to real estate, or maybe, you know, like a younger person, just like, okay, like, I don't know what I need to focus on. What's your advice for someone that is just starting out in properties?
Where I see a lot of people go wrong is they get a few properties, and what ends up actually happening is they've got these houses and portfolios full of just debt and not cash. And I think the one thing I did well was to actually pay things off and budget really, really well. And like, I think your attitudes about money, how you relate to it, what is the end purpose and the reason why you actually want to make all of this money, and like the goals that you have at the end of the day is really important. But obviously get a really, really good advisors on your team, but actually starts with like, how are you managing your money and cash flow day to day? Because if you're a broke person and you get a mortgage, you're just going to be more broke. If you think property is the silver bullet that's going to like change your life and make you richer, probably like, and you can't manage your money, you're probably not going to win. It's actually the person you are.
That is so good. So what happens is I have, before this episode, I would have released two episodes around what is the true foundation to property investing, and is not to do with any strategy on properties or like how you get the finance. It's actually to look at how you're cutting up your pie when it comes in to your bank account, how you're dividing that. And definitely check that out if you guys are wanting to explore further what Jerry is talking about here. For a second, I thought you were going to tell everyone just buy a home and income.
Well, do that. Yeah. Like look out, like you want, ideally you want, I think that like the asset selection comes way later on, but what comes actually earlier is like dissecting your own attitude, your goals, what you're actually trying to achieve, because you know, it's who you are is going to be reflected through how you spend your money. And if you've got a broke scarcity, broke person's mentality, if you get more debt, you're just going to be more broke. Yeah.
Right, so if you need to sell your house and make sure you get some good advice around your financial well-being, Jerry's your guy.
Thank you. Yeah.
All right. Thank you so much for your incredible insights today and sharing your journey with us and our listeners out there. Hopefully you guys got some gold nuggets. You know, if you're thinking about property investing or even, you know, just buying your first home, right? Like you want to buy an asset that's going to grow in value. There are going to be differences. So Jerry might be someone you can reach out and get that advice from. So thank you again. And if you guys are listening to this point, you have to do one thing for me. And if you found, that is, if you found value, share this episode with one other person out there who will also benefit from it. Thank you again for listening. I'll see you guys in the next episode.